ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। I'll speak some more on Varnashram Dharma and education. More means I've spoken about this many times. And I plan to speak about it in future also, much more. There's a lot to be said, many things to be said. Hand on the mouth. What does that mean? Means you should go wash your hand. Did you read that book, My Memories of Srila Prabhupada? Nityananda Krishna read it. He wrote about that, right? In your offering. That now you know, and now you have to teach others also not to do that. There's much to be said about it. I'm talking and you are doing. You're practically doing it. Anuvad ho raha hai, aapko angrezi aate hain aapko? Anant Padmanabh, you can follow? Okay, I didn't know. I thought you... And I must thank you for that, for doing it, because I can't do it all by myself, obviously. There's no such thing as one-man Varnashram. There's no such thing as a one-man Hare Krishna movement. It's together, joint venture. This is our spiritual joint venture. New startup. Bahubhir Militva Yat Kirtanam Iti Sankirtanam. A simple definition of Sankirtan is when many come together to chant. So all coming together. The ultimate purpose is to glorify Krishna. Of course. Otherwise, what's the point? There are still, up to the present day, many millions of people living and growing their own food. There have been many in the past, and there will be many in the future. But the real point is to be Krishna conscious. As Prabhupada would often say about these communities, you can live happily in this life, and happily forever in the future also. So I can see you're very happy and you're expressing that in your writings also. So why are you happy? Why are you happy? Well, you have the opportunity to chant Hare Krishna much more than you did while living in the city. You're undisturbed by the anxieties of city life. Another reason that you're very happy is because you're getting the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, who wanted these communities. And you're doing it, and therefore Prabhupada is blessing you. And therefore you become happy. Srila Prabhupada, shortly before he departed this world, he said that 50% of my work is not done. There's a quote. I'm reading from TKG's diary. Bhakti Charu replied, Srila Prabhupada, if you stay 3 years more, so much can be done. You can imagine if Prabhupada had stayed 3 years more. He did so much in the 12 years that he was since... From landing in America to departing this world is about 12 years. And it was the velocity was increasing. It was becoming more almost unbearable for some people in the Western world. They're becoming very afraid of the Hare Krishna movement. They're making big court cases against it. So you can imagine if Bhakti Charu Maharaj said to Srila Prabhupada, if you stay 3 more years, then so much can be done. Srila Prabhupada answered, I have only done 50% of what I want to do. Can you imagine what Prabhupada had already done? The impossible, unimaginable. of spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world? And he said, only 50%. And Prabhupada said, the farms have to be done. If they are established, Varnashram will be established. Then another day, because he was talking about this a lot in the time just before he passed away from our mortal vision. Book distribution and farms, these are our solid programs. So he's always stressing book distribution. But now he's stressing book distribution and farms, these are our solid programs. They can change the whole world. The whole foundation of animal civilization can be destroyed. If I have hope for still living, I wanted to organize the farms, make it perfect. Simple living and high thinking. Now we're finding, devotees are reporting all over the world that, oh, hand on mouth, go wash your hand. Yeah, I have many, many things to write about Vaishnav Sadacha. Then you can start to practice it, especially at the farms. Yes, all over the world, so many books are still being distributed. Devotees have understood this very clearly, that Srila Prabhupada wanted books distributed. And many people are appreciating, oh, these are very good books. Even in the Western world, people are appreciating. They're very good books. But we don't have any social structure for them to fit into. If they want to, they think this is very good, but where do they go next? What do they do next? They could start to chant Hare Krishna. But it's very difficult if they're living in the modern society. But the farm communities give them an opportunity to plug into a whole different lifestyle. And Srila Prabhupada said that millions will join our farms. If we had our farms now, in the Western world especially, it would be very much appreciated. Not by the governments, probably, because they would. The governments tend to be rather demoniac, animal civilization, Srila Prabhupada said. But many people would appreciate and many people would be willing to join, but we don't have that. We don't have a practical demonstration. Here in India also, even though people are not fed up with material life in the way that people in the Western countries are, still, people are appreciating. We didn't think. At first, before these communities were started, we always used to say, oh, no one will join. Before we started the Gurukuls, no one will send their children. But they are appreciating. Many devotees are appreciating because they read Prabhupada's books and they have an idea that this is what Srila Prabhupada wanted. So there's great opportunity, 50% of the work to be done. That means to give, as Prabhupada would say, practical shape to the ideas he had in his books. It wasn't that something that Srila Prabhupada just dreamed up at the last stage. He was talking about this even before he came to the West. But he, when his movement was well established all over the world, more and more he wanted to practically implement that. So you're getting the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. He didn't stay to institute that 50%, but that is typical of the great acharyas. They leave some work for others to do. As Srila Prabhupada said about Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said he could have himself personally delivered the whole world, but he left something for others to do. So Srila Prabhupada left us this work to do, this establishing Varnashram. We have a long, long way to go, much work to do. Even just in the practical groundwork, we have so many things to do. We're talking about, where is the money to, we need to build buildings for people who want to come. Even apart from implementing so many different societal norms, we're talking about Varnashram, but that actually means brahmachari, grihastha. We have brahmacharis and grihasthas, we have vanaprasthas, we don't have sannyasis living here. But then the division into Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, otherwise if there's only ashram and no varna, then it's not varnashram, is it? And then we can talk about ashram dharma, but the two have to be. So there's a lot of work to do, but even on the basic practical things, there's a lot of work to do, but there's a good start. And I request you all to stick with it. There will be many tests, no doubt. Maya doesn't make things easy. That's not her job. Her service is to make things difficult. But please stick with it. And hopefully then, as more and more devotees in our movement come to know about these projects, they'll become inspired by it and understand that it is possible. Something should be done. Srila Prabhupada wanted this. Just as it's widely understood within ISKCON that all leaders should be into promoting book distribution. There's no question about it in the minds of the leaders of ISKCON, whether they implement it or not, but everyone knows that Srila Prabhupada very much wanted book distribution. But Prabhupada said, book distribution and farms, these are our solid programs. So just as all leaders should be into book distribution, they should all, I mean, into it means they should be promoting it, supporting it, but also varnashram dharma. If we follow as a Prabhupada, we have to do what he wants. So it's just like book distribution, it's not that very easy to organize it, to go out and among people who are neutral at best, sometimes inimical. Generally, when we approach people, they're not expecting it. They have their money, and they have some idea what they want to do with that money, and what they want to do with that money is not to buy one of Prabhupada's books. They have some other plan for that. So when we come, and if we just walk up to them and say, take 500 rupees out of your pocket, give it to me, and I'll give you some books. It won't work. What do you think, Guru Das? You spent so many years distributing books. There has to be some spiritual energy flowing through the devotee so that he can convince the people to take those books. So it requires that the leaders preach about it, inspire the devotees. The devotees understand it, and that's why they do it. It's not easy. It would be much easier in many ways not to do book distribution. And unfortunately, in some places, they seem to have decided, yeah, it's much easier not to do it. And in many ways, it might be, but then you don't get the mercy that you should get from Prabhupada by doing that, and you're not properly connected to Srila Prabhupada if you don't do it. So it's similarly with Varnashram. It's easy to say, well, let's, you know, just don't bother. Even devotees who are into book distribution, they may think, well, why bother with it? We can't understand it. Also, book distribution, we may not understand it, because it's generally not that directly people take up Krishna consciousness by distributing the books. It takes time. It's often been compared to time bombs. The books are in people's homes. They sit there. They may sit there for 20 years. Someone picks it up and takes up devotional service. Or it may be that they read it, they have some impression, they take it up in another life. It may be, you see this, children are being born now, they're attracted to Krishna consciousness. Just like Tarun Krishna is here. It may be that in a previous life, he read one of Prabhupada's books, and then he wanted to join at a very young age. What age were you when you joined? 13? No, now? Join Kirta? 10. Only 10. Oh, I see. So it may well have been that in a previous life, he had some contact by the books or whatever. So he wanted to take up this Krishna consciousness very seriously. So in this, so we may not directly see the results of book distribution immediately. So with Varnashrama, so we may think, well, why bother? Let's just chant Hare Krishna and be happy. That's also one of Prabhupada's instructions. Of course, he gave us a lot more to do than just chanting Hare Krishna. Just chanting Hare Krishna. I mean, that is actually all in all what our movement's all about. But there are many activities also to promote that chanting, of which book distribution is the main. So it's easy to say, well, let's not bother with book distribution. But somehow, Srila Prabhupada stressed that so much, and it was already going on when Prabhupada was present, that it's part of our ISKCON, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, family business. I don't know where that came from, but somehow that saying is there, that it's our family business, the book distribution. Family business means you do it, just like if you have a family business, then the son is born into the family and he does the business. There's no question about doing anything else. Of course, now in India, times have changed, but previously, the family business, then the son does it, and then his son does it, and his son does it, and it just goes on generation after generation. Because it's business in those days would mean something which wouldn't change. If your business is selling cell phones, you can know that your son won't be doing it, probably, because cell phones, probably in one generation, there won't be any such thing. Just like previously we had reel-to-reel tape recorders, then we had cassette recorders, and now those tape recorders are completely, defunct. Can't remember the word. In something or other. Means they're not in use anymore. There's some other technology has surpassed them. But in the traditional culture, family business means greens merchant or in English they say pawn merchant. The Sanskrit word is pun means you say that in Gujarati? You don't have those anymore. It means that you put some gold in the shop and you get some money and then you have to repay the money and then you get the gold. So that's a business which will go on generation after generation like that. So this kind of business, family business. So book distribution is our family business. And just like all leaders of ISKCON should be into book distribution, they should also be into Varnashram Dharma. It's Prabhupada's wish. It's easy to say, well, I'm not into that. I don't relate to that. We run on the temple, we have deity worship, we have book distribution, we have festivals, but Varnashram, I can't understand that, I'm not into that. But it's like book distribution. No one's naturally into it. It's something we do because we know that Prabhupada wants it. It's not many people who have a natural propensity to want to go out onto the streets of the Western world in the freezing winter and try and sell books to people who mostly don't want them. But devotees do it because they know that Prabhupada wanted it. So similarly, it's easy to say that, well, these Varnashram projects, we're not into it, we don't want to do it. We can do other things, but we should do this also with full dedication, as Srila Prabhupada wanted that. Of course, we can also say that, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said when Ramananda Rai proposed, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked about sadhya sadhana tattva, the goal of life and how to attain it, the first thing that Ramananda Rai offered was varnashramacharavata, Purushena Parapuman Vishnu Raradhyate Panta Nanyatato Shakaranam. He said that, quoting from Vishnu Purana, that by performing one's prescribed duties within the Varnashram system, every person can satisfy the Supreme Lord Vishnu. In fact, there's no other way to do it. They can worship Vishnu, and there's no other way to do so. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Eho Bhajya, this is external. But actually, Srila Prabhupada quoted that verse many times. And it is from the Vishnu Purana, so we can't say it's completely bogus. It's an instruction of the Supreme Lord. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said it's external, but it doesn't mean that it's completely to be rejected. At the end of this discussion in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami gives the analysis that, first of all, Ramananda said Varnashram, and then he's to work in Varnashram, and then he said to work in Varnashram, offering everything to Vishnu, and then he said to give up, to work without a spirit of attachment, and then he said to perform this Jnana Mishra Bhakti, to worship the Lord but with an admixture of knowledge. And to all of these, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Eho Bhajya, this is all external. And then he recommended pure devotion, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted. But he gave all shastric injunctions for this. Yad karoshi, yad ashnasi, yad juhoshi, then savadhaman parityaja, brahma bhuta prasannana. But Krishnadas Kaviraj, these five propositions, he compares them to tama, copper, then kansha, which means bell metal. Kasha in Bengali, they say. Then next is chandi in Hindi, or rupa in Bengali, which means silver. Then shona, gold. And then the sparshamani, or touchstone. So in other words, they're all, copper is, it's not bad. Copper's good metal. Kasha is also good. It's a good, but they're progressively better. So it's not that any of them are rejected totally, but just one is more valuable than another. So this is also required for everyone who's not ready to immediately come to the topmost level. This is required. This organization of Varnashram, so that people can live, as Prabhupada said, the whole foundation of animal civilization can be destroyed. Because civilization means that we require some social setup. We're not just living alone. Humans need to live with others. There may be some rishis who are living in the forest alone, but mostly people live together. The human needs are eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Animal needs are there also. Humans do that by cooperation. For eating, then food has to be produced. And humans are more sophisticated than animals, so they also have some means of transport, some means of government, some means of taxation, some means of defense, just like an army or a police force, so it all requires some organization. This human society that is based on sense gratification, that increases a spirit of envy and competition within the society, so people are, they don't like each other. The leaders, they exploit the citizens, and then the citizens rebel, and then they make a new kind of government, and then they pull down that government, and it just goes on and on and on. And the democracy system of voting attempts to civilize the process of pulling down leaders by voting, because they regularly vote them out. They call that the incumbency effect. If someone is in too long, then they don't like them. They vote them out. Why? Because the citizens are not happy. As Srila Prabhupada notes in that purport to, I believe it's in that purport to Kamasya Nindriya Preeti, he says that everywhere in modern life there's sense gratification. In politics, religion, even in religion, in education, in every facet of life. And the leaders, they attempt to get votes from the citizens by promoting, I will give you better sense gratification. But then they get voted in and they cannot satisfy the citizens, who then become upset and vote them out. You see any government, so many promises they make before they come in. After they come in, forgotten, just like the present Prime Minister, who's very popular here in this part of the world. He's from Gujarat. He promised, what is that? He'll bring back all the black money. Everyone in India can get 15 lakhs of rupees. He promised to clean up the Ganga. He promised to build a fence around Bangladesh to stop the infiltration into Assam. What else did he put? Anyway, there's just some things off the top of my head he promised to do. And now, chooped up. Nothing about that. So this is just normal. They promise so many things and then they don't do it. And so the citizens become dissatisfied and they pull them down. But actually there shouldn't be any need to change a leader. If they're actually leading properly, then it should be, then they should do so. They can continue to do so. This animal civilization is full of competition because it's based on sense gratification. Whereas daivavanasham dharma is based upon cooperation for the sake of serving Krishna. The sense of dharma is very strong. It is the barber's dharma to be a barber. He doesn't have to do anything else. And only he should do that. Now, Shriyan Svadharma Vigona Paradharmat Bhayavaha. Only the dharma should cut people's hair and nails and perform certain functions at marriages and prior to marriages. He must do it and no one else should do it. So everyone has their dharma to do with the idea that Swakarmanatam Abhyacha Siddhing Vindati Manavaha. Every person can attain perfection by worshipping the Lord through their work. So it's a very sophisticated understanding, actually, even though mass education is not there. What they call nowadays education means to train people so they can work within the technological society. It's not really education in the sense of teaching them what they really need to know. But the people are educated how to become bigger animals. That's the actual result. So Srila Prabhupada, in the very beginning of Bhagavatam, actually even before in the preface, he talks about how the Bhagavatam is for establishing a non-competitive society, which we can't imagine at the present time. This spirit of competition is so strong. Of course, that may be there in human society, especially the Kshatriyas. They would have mock battles or real battles, and Brahmanas, they would have debates. But a real Brahmana is not interested. The real Brahmana is Brahma Bhuta Prasanna Atma. He's satisfied as he is. He's not interested in debating to show that he's bigger, better than someone else. Just like in Bhakti Ratnakar, it's described that some scholar, so-called Digvijay, all-conquering pandit, came to Vrindavan. Rupa Goswami was there. So Rupa Goswami had a reputation as being a great pundit. So this scholar came and he said, I want to debate with you. And Rupa Goswami said, I don't want to debate. Their business is Nidrahara Vihara Kadi Vijito Chatya. They're given up eating and sleeping so that they can Krishna Kirtana Gana Nartana. They're attached to spending all their time hearing and chanting about Krishna, singing and dancing. They don't have any time. They don't eat and sleep. They're so busy in hearing and chanting and dancing in Krishna consciousness. This man comes, I want to debate with you. Ah, no, I don't. Then you sign this paper that you are defeated by me. If you don't want to debate, that means you don't dare to debate with me. So it's called Jaipatra, certificate of victory. Okay, I signed it. So I defeated Rupa Goswami. Then he thought that his nephew, Jiva Goswami, also has a great reputation. So I'll get him. I'll go in and he'll also sign. But Jiva Goswami didn't sign. He said, what, you rascal? You took a certificate from Rupa Goswami that you defeated him? Okay, sit down, you rascal. And he sat down, defeated him, and drove him out of Vrindavan. And then Rupa Goswami said, well, what are you debating for? It's just showing your some pride. He threw Jiva Goswami out of Vrindavan. But anyway, the point is that some spirit of competition might be there. But it's not to the point of destruction. The basic principle is cooperation. Cooperation means the society is there to organize eating, sleeping, mating and defending. That's not the real thing, but that has to be done. That's not the main point of society, but so that society can be organized in a way that Krishna can be glorified, that the actual purpose of life can be fulfilled. The eating, sleeping and mating is organized in such a way that we don't become preoccupied with eating, sleeping, mating and defending. There's not a whole effort to organize our eating, sleeping and mating and defending. It should be done in such a way that it's done very efficiently, minimized, so that everyone has time to pursue the ultimate goal of life. Otherwise, it's just for rishis. They go into the forest, and their eating is minimal, whatever they get from the trees. They're sleeping, they minimize. Mating is zero, and defending, there's no defending. Because there's no one defending from humans, and there may be animals there, tigers, and living in the forest, but they just rely on Krishna, that's all. And mostly they weren't getting eaten. Paramatma is in their heart, in the heart of the tigers and the lions and the deer and the elephants and the rhinoceroses and the sharabas and snakes and scorpions and all different kinds of creatures in the forest that could kill you, wild pigs. But the rishis, they had to have faith that Krishna would protect them. So their life was completely dedicated to spiritual realization. But the Varnashram system at its best is meant for so everyone can live together, and they have social organization, but the idea is that everyone has time for spiritual realization. It's not the preserve only of sannyasis and recluses. So Srila Prabhupada spoke about this, but somehow or other it hasn't to date become an integral part of our movement as book distribution is. And even our own devotees, many of them, they're not interested. Some of them claim they're above it. Well, we're Vaishnavs, we're above Varnashram. Although Srila Prabhupada's take on this was, well, if you're above it, if that means you're a Paramahamsa, then why are so many of our devotees falling down? They don't maintain their principles. In the Varnashram system, the sannyas order is the highest. Srila Prabhupada offered sannyas to several of his disciples, and many of them fell away from their vows, even though they were considered highly advanced. So the claim that we're above Varnashram, well, that should be, if we're totally absorbed in Krishna consciousness, then we may be. But most of our devotees aren't. That means we need some kind of social organization to plug into. Krishna consciousness is to be pursued, again, bahubha militva yat kirtanam iti sankirtanam. It's to be pursued in association of devotees, sadhu sangha. That means there has to be some kind of social organization. And this is the organization that Krishna has given us. So unless we're actually Paramahamsas and we're ready to go and live in the forest and live on leaves dropping from the trees, then we need some kind of social organization. Or even if we are Paramahamsas and we're living in society, then there's also some kind of social organization. That's why sannyas is accepted. Sannyas is a situation within Varnashram, which it makes it clear that he has a role within the Varnashram system. He's one of the ashrams, sannyas ashram, so that he can relate to the other members and instruct them. So the claim that we're Vaishnavas and we don't need it, we're above it, well, Srila Prabhupada didn't accept that. Another point is that, well, okay, theoretically as Vaishnavas we are above Varnashram, but still we should do it to set an example for others, to show other people how to live. We can be Vaishnavas living in the city, living in many ways like the, as Prabhupada said, the animals, animal civilization, just working, working, working. That's the way people have to live in the cities. And in the spare time that you have, which probably won't be very much, you can do hearing and chanting about Krishna. As many of the devotees here have mentioned, oh, that's another reason why you're very happy here, because you do have time to hear and chant about Krishna, which in the city life was very restricted. And you do have devotee association, which in city life was also restricted, minimal. The devotees are scattered all over the place, and you only come together once a week. But here you're to... So that's another reason why you're happy, because Krishna consciousness makes you happy. Living with devotees makes you happy. Devotees, they come together and live together, and they demonstrate to others how we can live and be happy in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, in city life, there's not much time for cultivating Krishna consciousness. So our own Krishna consciousness tends to suffer from, on one hand, lack of time and lack of association to properly develop it, and on the other hand, the bad association that we get by being with non-devotees. And there's not much of an example to show, because to other people, it looks like devotees have the same goal of life as them. They're also going to a job and working hard. And it looks to other people, well, they're just like one of us. So they say that the goal of life is self-realization, but practically the goal of their life is working in a job and making money. That's how they spend most of their time. Their life is focused around it. So these community, Vaishnava community projects, they demonstrate how, yeah, we are very serious about self-realization, about Krishna consciousness, and this... This project shows, and even those devotees who, for what, Grihastha devotees who, for whatever reason, remain within the city, at the present time, we can expect that the great majority of them will remain in the city, but they can also take some inspiration from these projects, how we can get more serious about our spiritual life. So some devotees claim they're above it, some say that they don't know, we don't know what Varnashram is. We can't imagine it. Right? How do you do it? Some say, yes, it's very good, but we're not ready for it. So within our society, there are various reasons. Some may be valid, some may be not very valid, why our leaders and devotees in general haven't taken up Varnashram Dharma very seriously. But actually, we have, if we are to reproduce the kind of society that Srila Prabhupada spoke about and wrote about so much, there's still a long, long way to go. Many things which our devotees may find very, very difficult to accept. Just like less than a year ago, I published this book, Women, Masters, or Mothers, which is now banned in North America and the United Kingdom and in Vrindavan, at ISKCON Vrindavan, that means. Banned means banned in the ISKCON society because, many devotees like it very much, but some don't like it at all, and seems some of the things they find it just, they can't relate to it at all. They think it's very bad. For instance, one of the things I mentioned in there is about child marriage, and according to the Western, modern Western outlook, this is something very bad, because people have to grow up and choose their own partner, they have to have freedom. This idea that Srila Prabhupada gave, actually it's not his idea, but he quoted it many times from Manu, What is that? Nastriam Swatantram Arhati. Arhati means they deserve or they're eligible for, is it? They're qualified for. Arhata. So anyway, Prabhupada said they shouldn't be given freedom. And this is something which is just... People, they think it's terrible and horrible. But actually in the Vedic system, no one had freedom. And in the modern life, you also don't have this illusory freedom. The freedom to take intoxication and spoil your life. Well, better than that is a society that restricts you from all these things. But there isn't much freedom as compared to modern life. In modern life, the freedom means the freedom to spoil your life completely. And one of the main ways that people do that is by illicit sex. They become attracted, and the boy becomes attracted to a girl, they have sex, but if that's not within marriage, that's sinful. But people don't believe in sin. They think freedom is more important than morality. And so they actually spoil their lives very badly. The people are so unhappy in the modern age. So there's so much insistent on this freedom, but they have no spiritual knowledge, and so they misuse that freedom. Whereas people who have spiritual knowledge, they don't want that freedom. I'm a sannyasi. I don't want the freedom to be alone and just go wherever I want and do whatever I want. I don't want that. I like to keep brahmacharis with me all the time. I don't want the freedom to just be alone and do whatever. The brahmacharis are there. They're from their point of view, they're assisting me. From my point of view, they're protecting me. For a husband, there may be so many women around. He has his wife. His wife is protecting him. He has to protect the wife, and the wife also has to protect the husband. If he sees, he's getting close, this one, hey, she'll chase that other woman away and scold the husband. So they're protecting each other. Why? Well, you may say the husband is attached to the wife is attached to the husband, but that protects dharma, and that protects the whole of society. So this idea of child marriage, Srila Prabhupada explained that anyway that you're going to marry someone, so get it organized in advance, and there's a whole psychology behind that. But in the modern society is very much against that. Oh, you have to let them grow up and choose their own partner. But the choosing means they get the girl, 12 years old, 13 years old, gets bewildered, and she's used so many times. There's no chastity. The whole society goes to hell. So that's just one example of how in the modern world, many of our devotees, if we start talking about these things, child marriage, polygamy, and many of our devotees, they can't relate to that at all. Why? Well, of course, Prabhupada said that we shouldn't introduce it if it's against the law and people are so much against it. But on principle, he wasn't against it, because he said there are more women than men, and some of the men are going to be lifelong celibates. So a man who's responsible, not just because he's very lusty, because if you're very lusty in the modern age, you don't have to have more than one wife. You can just pick up one girlfriend after another. But out of a sense of responsibility, and Prabhupada said that in our movement, there are so many young girls, they're not getting husbands. So some man, if he can support, they can marry more than one. Of course, he said that our devotees are so irresponsible, they can hardly hold one marriage together. So there are different points, but on principle, he wasn't against it. So there are many points. If we even talk about them, many of our devotees, they become very disturbed. That they have plenty of kids, plenty of children. That's one way of making Vaishnavas. It sounds funny, but it is. The whole idea of dividing society. Some people are Shudra. Who wants to be known as a Shudra? No, I'm not sure. I'm a Brahmin. Everyone wants to be a Brahmin. Give me Brahmin initiation. But if we're going to stratify society, then some are going to be. Actually, a Vaishnava is above Brahmana. But according to the work we do, there should be some division to make order and regulation in society. Someone who's working in a Shudra role as a Vaishnava is far above someone who's a so-called Brahmana, but who's not a Vaishnava. But still that division should be there. So this may all be very unpopular. So there's a great challenge to start to establish these communities, and then to bring in all these principles may be very difficult also. But we have to do it, because it's an order from Srila Prabhupada. Otherwise, the whole society at the present time is totally chaotic, totally insane. People are suffering so much, in so many ways. It's just unbelievable how people accept that to be in a totally insane condition is normal. Just like in America, I told you before that someone comes up to me and says, "Well, I was raised by my mother. She divorced my father when I was 2 years old, and she's mentally imbalanced, and she's always taking, she's drug addict, and I was raised like that." And you just say like normal. And someone else, she's a devotee. She was raised by two lesbian women who lived together. And one of them got impregnated with an injection, and she was born like that. And that's just normal. And people growing up in the present generation may say, "Well, you know, yeah, it's normal," because that's what they think is normal. But it's wrong. Even the society in our generation we grew up with, the Hamdo Hamare Do, we are two and we have two. The whole idea of contraception, or if you forget to take the pill, then abortion, we just take this as normal, but it's actually very sinful. But now we just take it as normal. We make a fuss about abortion, at least in the West. Many Christians are against abortion, and our devotees also. But we just, even in India, we take it as normal that there are slaughterhouses killing literally millions of cows and other animals, and we just take it as normal. So it's such a sick and wrong society that we really require a complete change, and these Varnashram projects are supposed to bring that into being. At least we need to demonstrate it. We need to talk about it and to demonstrate it, actually. So this is a beginning demonstration. Like I say, many devotees, I don't know why, because it's what I've stated is all in Prabhupada's books, again and again and again. But if it's put directly, then somehow I don't know what they're thinking. Maybe they think that, well, Prabhupada said that, but he didn't really mean it. I really don't know how they can think that it's not what Prabhupada wanted. Maybe they have the idea that Prabhupada was preaching in the West in the 1960s, and that should remain the template forever, when Srila Prabhupada was just starting his movement among people who were actually hippies. And Srila Prabhupada made many concessions for them. But should that remain the template forever? I don't think so. That's why Prabhupada was talking about Varnashram. So, again, congratulations to you all. There will be many tests ahead, but please stick to it. And hopefully then more and more devotees will get some idea about living like this, living simply, peacefully, happily, in Krishna consciousness. So the other major project that's going on here, a very bold step, is establishing Gurukuls. And that's again something which many of our devotees, they seem to be against. Why aren't you sending your children to get MSCs and PhDs, and you'll spoil their life? That means, if they say like this, that means, what are they thinking? whose books are they reading? Are they reading Prabhupada's books? Or, how could they get this idea? Where is it coming from? It's definitely not coming from Ved Vyas. It's definitely not coming from our acharyas. It's the influence of the demoniac society. We say gurukuls. Previously, that was for boys born in the families of brahmanas, kshatriyas, or vaishyas. Especially brahmana boys would spend many years. Kshatriyas, yeah, but their training. You see the Kauravas, their training. Kauravas includes the Pandavas. We say Kurus and Pandavas, but actually Pandavas, they're also Kauravas. So they also, they're all descendants of Kuru. Mamakam Pandavas Chaiva. Dhritarashtra made a, that Prabhupada points out in the purport, that he distinguished between my sons and the Pandavas, but actually they're all the same family. So they all got training in the martial science. Bhishma, he called Drona, you come and teach them. So their training was somewhat, well, considerably different. But by birth, by background, they're supposed to, in a real Brahmana family, we're not saying that it's not only, it's not by birth. In fact, if we see in Shastra, mostly Brahmanas are Brahmanas by birth. But that means that there is, the line is maintained by doing all the sanskaras, beginning with Garbhadhan sanskara. Now, so I'm told, previously at Gurukuls, they would, some boy would be brought in and they would test him. So the guru would, to see if he's eligible to study in the Gurukul. So the guru would say one verse, Sanskrit shloka. The boy has to repeat it. He says another one. He says 100 verses. And the boy, just by hearing one time, has to immediately repeat it. And if he can't do 100 verses like that, he's not fit to be a student in the Gurukul. Then they understand there must be some break in the line of sanskaras. They haven't done all their sanskaras properly. Because the sanskaras, that very word sanskara means that which Srila Prabhupada translated as reformatory procedures. So that it's not just birth, but the whole culture and the sanskaras, they prepare the children in such a way that they become, that they're eligible to go to Gurukul. Such intelligence should be there and character should be there. We see in the Satyakama, he was accepted. Even he didn't have the sanskara of course, different commentators describe differently, but at least Srila Prabhupada said that his mother must have been a loose woman because she didn't know who his father is, but he had this quality of honesty because no one could say, well, my mother doesn't know who my father is. It's a great shame to say that. Not in the modern age, because kalo shudra sambhavaha, to say shudra is putting them on a very high platform. They're much lower. Shankaracharya, he explains this means actually the father was a brahmana and he died long ago and he had some explanation because the Shankara line, they always promote by birth only out to the present time. But it's practically dead. I mean, this whole birth as a brahmana, only you can be a brahmana, it's gone practically because those who are born in brahmana families, they don't have that culture. With some few rare cases, there are still some good brahmanas. But even you find nice brahmanas in some place, in Kanchi and different places, Sri Rangam. But in their house, there'll also be the TV with cricket going on. So in many ways, they have a nice culture, but they just can't keep out the influence of Kali Yuga. Some, there are few. But more and more people are recognizing. When I first came to India, it was very strong, this idea. No, no, you can't be a Hindu. You should. They were very upset, this Brahmana thread. You can't wear that. Yeah, you're a mlecha. They're very. Nowadays, due to the, on one hand, the downfall of the traditional family Brahmana caste, and the influence of Srila Prabhupada's books, which have been widely distributed in India, and his movement, most people seem to accept that real Brahmana means by quality, not by birth. It's a major change in the outlook of people, if they even think about such matters. Mostly the highest thing people can think of is cricket. I mean, cricket is higher than the Bollywood sexy movies, so you can say cricket is on a high platform. Maybe we may say, oh, someone is interested in cricket. Oh, very high culture. Because is then, of course, they're also interested in Bollywood. And of course, you know, India, it's all mix up. So they'll go to the Bollywood movie and next day to the temple with the family, and it's all, you know, one day is the pious day and the next 6 days is all mixed up. Anyway, these Gurukuls, as Srila Prabhupada said, the main education is character training. Interesting that Srila Prabhupada said that. He didn't, of course, the main thing is Krishna consciousness, but we want to see not that everyone has to be a candidate for the Apichet Sudaracharo verse. That's supposed to be some exception. That's not supposed to be that for everyone. That more or less everyone's a Sudurachari, greatly fallen, but anyway they chant Hare Krishna. But that's supposed to demonstrate, that verse is supposed to demonstrate the quality of Krishna, that he is samoham sarva bhuteshu nasti dveshu name priyaha ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya maitaiteshu chapyaham. You can say I wasn't a Brahmin in last life or this life. So Krishna says, I'm equal to everyone, but I favor my devotee. To the extent that, even if they're most fallen in their behavior, if their purpose is to worship me exclusively, they should be considered saintly. So the purpose of that verse is to demonstrate how great is it, how much Krishna favors his devotees. Not that everyone who is supposed to be a devotee is most abominably behaved. It's supposed to be a rare exception. So Srila Prabhupada said that education is meant for character development. And talking about this, Srila Prabhupada, in defining who is a gentleman, he would say, yes, all my disciples are gentlemen. They vow no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication, no meat eating. That may, because character, of course, just to avoid that doesn't mean you're of the highest character, but you can't be a person of good character if you are involved in these matters, generally speaking. Of course, there may be kshatriyas also who are eating meat, but they, real kshatriyas, they have to go and hunt in the forest before they eat that. Even brahmanas may eat the meat, yagyashishta. So the character we will see of the devotee means not that they're chanting Hare Krishna and then afterwards they're watching they're on their cell phone some pornographic movie or something like this, which sometimes we hear of such things, or they're looking at dirty pictures on. So, but the education will be seen that those who come through this Gurukul system, they will be of pure heart, pure consciousness, no gross material desires. That means that anyway they may marry, but they're not going to be the fallen, rascal, normal person of the modern age. They have high character. They're not attracted to meat-eating, gambling, illicit sex, intoxication, cricket, Bollywood. Their goal of life is Krishna. One facet of this life, simple living and high thinking, that's it. So their mind should be very simple also. To live in the modern world, you have to be very crooked. The more the more advanced a city is, the more crooked you have to be. That's why Srila Prabhupada, he went to New York and people were surprised. How could you live in New York? It's such a tough city for people to live in. Prabhupada, I'm from Calcutta. Because in a big city, they're always everywhere, people ready to cheat you. And life is very fast and you have to think on your feet, as they say. So devotees, of course, they shouldn't be naive. They should also learn Charnakya Niti, how to live in this world and behave in this world. But basically, they should be very simple and pure and trusting. Just like you see, of course, our Rudrani cow here is... She's quite a character. But generally, cows, if you look after them nicely, they'll be sweet and gentle. Just recently, we were staying on a farm outside Salem. During the time I stayed there, two calves were born. And from the beginning, they're used to being treated nicely, and so they have no fear of humans. They don't know what it is to be mistreated by humans. But the cows that are raised when they're treated like cattle. There's a saying in English, treated like cattle. That means to be mistreated. In India, traditionally, if you say treated like a cow, that means treated very nicely. But the English saying means treated like cattle means you're mistreated. So in the Gurukul, they should be raised in such a way that they're simple and pure, just like the cow cannot imagine that anyone will mistreat them. They just expect to be treated with affection and care. Of course, sometimes you may have to just hit them a little bit on with a stick to drive them or show the stick. But there's no mistreatment. So the children also, they should grow up in an atmosphere where no one has any intention to exploit them. It's just expected normally in society that children expect elders to act in a manner that is favorable for them. They don't expect... Elder people means that they act in a manner which is good for the children, not exploiting them. So children naturally tend to trust elder people. Nowadays, society is so bad, you have to train the children not to trust elder people. Because the society has become so bad that elder people, they take advantage of the trust of children to physically exploit them, which is just... It seems like the end of any civilization. It's just, how low can you go? But that's also becoming just a normal thing now. It's so unfortunate. So our society, our communities, that's also one thing to... We're talking about protecting our own devotional kripa, protecting the women, protecting the children. Should be a very protective environment for all of them. So they're raised in a way that they grow up with a simple and pure mind. Just like the Pandavas, they grew up among rishis, not among kshatriyas. They came down and they couldn't, they just couldn't relate to how Duryodhana was treating them. They couldn't have imagined it. Because no one's behaved with them like that. And even after years and years and years of this, Arjuna, you see on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he still couldn't feel badly toward them. Even though he said that, Durbuddhihi, they have bad intelligence. But he recognized that. But at the same time, he didn't have the feeling toward the Kauravas or the Dhatarashtras. He didn't have the feeling. He knew he had to fight them because they were wrong and they were going against Dharma. But he didn't have the deep feeling of enmity. Of course, Bhima did because of Well, that's a long story. Jai Damodak, he can tell you. Anyway, you all know the story. But it's a long story beginning with the Vishan Mahagne, the poisoning, and then burning the house, and then the icing on the poisonous icing on the poisonous cake was the attempted disrobing of Draupadi. But Arjuna, basically, even though he'd killed so many people, these, what is that, Nivarta Kavacha, 60,000, his arrows killed them all. 60 crore, is it?
No, three crores.
So Arjuna he knew how to kill, that was his dharma, but he didn't have any inherent malice. He was very pure-hearted. Annagha, Krishna addressed him. Sinless by nature. So this we want. And for that, this lifestyle is also very conducive, very simple and pure. The education also. Not that so many difficult things you have to teach them. Piles of books they have to carry. Just simple. Simple means focused on Krishna. Our purpose of life is to please Krishna. Whereas these academic, educational programs, that the idea is just fill up the brain more and more and more and more, and all kinds of things. Simplicity means there should be some tapasya also. Tapasya is not our process. Austerity is not our process, but some austerity should be there. Tapo divyam putrika yena sadvam shudyad yasmad brahma sokyam twanantam. Srila Prabhupada often quoted that in human life some austerity is needed. Austerity minimally means to withdraw ourselves from the process of sense gratification. The modern cities, they're meant for sense gratification. Everything is centered on sense gratification. Whereas here there's not much facility for comfort. It's not deliberately uncomfortable. We don't have beds of nails like some yogis and fakirs. They deliberately go on beds of nails just for deliberate discomfort. But on the other hand, there's no major effort to make life particularly comfortable also. So some tapasya, withdrawal from sense gratification, that is required, because if we put so much effort into making facilities for sense gratification, then we lose the whole goal of life. Just like we may say, well, we can chant Hare Krishna in the cities also, and there's electricity, and we have electric lights, and we have geysers, so we can have hot water in the winter, and be careful you don't get electrocuted, as sometimes happens. One of our devotees' daughters, maybe 15, 20 years ago, you know that? She was newly married and went in the bathroom, switched on the geyser, and that was the end of her, this lifetime round. So there are dangers there, or ironing the clothes, and all of a sudden electric shock. So we're making so many arrangements for sense gratification. But to have that fan going on in the summer and the hot water with the press a button and you get hot water, for that you have to go out and work in some nasty polluted city with nasty polluted people who don't like you and you don't like them and they're not Krishna conscious. So some withdrawal from all of that and live simply. And that living simply will also help to keep our mind very simple. Because after all, Krishna consciousness, as Srila Prabhupada often say, is very simple. What is there to understand? I'm not this body. I'm an eternal servant of Krishna. So I should serve Krishna by Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. All these processes. Very simple. But we tend to get our mind cluttered up with so many different things. So the education should be simple. The lifestyle should be simple. Simple means we have in the Bhagavatam. What is that Bhagavatam? Vidya Bhagavatavadhi. Srimad Bhagavatam is the ultimate limit of all education. Everything is there in Bhagavatam. If we study all the Vedas, of which in the Vedas the topmost part is the Upanishads, and that is systematically analyzed in Vedanta Sutras, and the ultimate exposition of that is Srimad Bhagavatam. So all knowledge is there. So the Bhagavatam, it's actually highly sophisticated knowledge. And we'll find in the Bhagavatam so many statements which corroborate and give full meaning to statements of the Upanishads. And we'll find in the Bhagavatam the answers to all different philosophies, different ideas. Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions, is the title of the English title to one of the chapters in the second canto, one of the chapter titles that Srila Prabhupada gave. So, Bhagavatam is unlimited. And if we study, we can go very, very deeply. There's no end to the depth of it. But there's that English saying, you can't see the wood for the trees. You know that saying? That we concentrate so much on the details that we can't see the overall picture. So, in Krishna consciousness study, we can study. What is this point of studying all these shastras? To understand, I am an eternal servant of Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'm supposed to serve Him. That's it. Simple. And there are, again, you can get into many different points about the process of creation and the whole point of understanding and establishing Veda Parushayatva, the Vedas, they're not given by any person as such. Of course, Veda Narayana Sakshat, the Vedas, they emanate from Narayana, but in another sense they're said to be not coming from not from any material source. So if you want to get into establishing that, that could be a huge subject. And there are so many fine points, sophisticated points within our philosophy. We accept Veda, Shabda Praman, that is the actual evidence, the evidence of the Vedas. And we also accept the Anuman as Pratyaksha and Anuman, but Veda, Shabda, that is the highest praman. So we accept these three pramans, and then maybe other pramans, which they can be subgrouped within these three pramans. And in this way, they're just the subject of praman tattva, to understand why we accept what we accept, that we could get into incredible detail about it. But at the end of the day, to use that cliche, we have to surrender to Krishna. So it may be some of our devotees will get into different kinds of education and study. We could study this Professor Rao. He did diving off the coast of Dwarka and discovered the submerged city. And different people are doing research. Harappa civilization, Mohenjo-Daro, and some say Aryan invasion, and some say no, there wasn't. And this way, we can do so many things, but those things, they may be subsidiary, but it doesn't in and of itself establish Krishna consciousness. You can find remains of Dwarka, and there'll still be people who don't believe in Krishna. And Hare Krishna. Or you can establish that there's no Aryan invasion, but that doesn't in and of itself establish Krishna consciousness. That is ultimately established, better you go, anyway, too late. That's ultimately established by how? By devotees. Bhaktya sanjataya bhaktya. Srila Prabhupada established Krishna consciousness not ultimately because he was a great scholar, of course he was a great scholar, but and he did present Krishna conscious philosophy. He was very interested in presenting philosophy. But it wasn't like presenting philosophy just like you see debates, atheists versus theists, and then intelligent design versus what's the alternative to evolution? Well, evolution, biological evolution comes after Big Bang theory. Big Bang is the standard. Nothingness. Yeah, well, there could be those who believe in intelligent design and Big Bang, isn't it? They say they were intelligently someone made a Big Bang. So anyway, you probably know more, but definitely know more things. But these kind of debates, there are many scholarly and intellectual people, but it wasn't just the Prabhupada speaking philosophy. In fact, many people who know the history of the Gauriya Math would say that Bon Maharaj, who went to England to preach, sent by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, about 30 years before Srila Prabhupada went to America, they would say he was a better scholar than Prabhupada. And from the scholarly point of view, well, maybe he was. He was very scholarly. But he didn't have the effect that Prabhupada had. And one reason for that, or we can say there may be so many reasons given, is that, well, Prabhupada had he had a very strong desire to communicate Krishna consciousness to others. And that's what he did. He communicated Krishna consciousness. He was able to transfer that. He wasn't speaking philosophy just on a theoretical platform, but very practical. And again, these Varnashram communities, this is a practical manifestation of Srila Prabhupada's desire to bring Krishna consciousness to everyone. So this education, we should be, we want that the boys coming, they can study Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, recite shlokas, defeat the rascals, bogus demons, misinterpretations and misunderstandings. We want that. But the main thing we want is that they'll be Krishna conscious. That's the main thing. And even if someone is very pure-hearted and Krishna conscious but not very scholarly, that is in many ways better than someone who is very highly learned but they're stuck on the platform of learning. Of course, if someone is very highly qualified in highly qualified, he's translating in Hindi. Bahut log highly qualified, hey, something like that. Sorry for my sarcasm. So Prabhupada had both of those things. So he was able to convince people intellectually, and he transferred the spirit of bhakti, which was so attractive. But anyway, the point, I'm going round and round here, I'm making that simply we don't want to just like in the schools, they have piles of papers and exams and tests, and we don't want to make it like that. That education, okay, you have to fill up this form and then cram it in your head, but the education, it has to be living bhakti. That's why the teachers, they're not just teachers who, okay, you did bhakti shastri, okay, you did the teacher's course, okay, now you can teach. But you have to see how they're following, rising early, chanting their round, actually caring, they actually want to, their intention is to give Krishna consciousness to others. Otherwise, we can teach and have courses and this and that, but without the actual spirit of devotion, of Krishnarthe Kila Cheshta, this you There are so many verses they can learn. There's not even a verse. This is just Krishnarte Kilach. Actually, it's in Bengali. That's in Sanskrit. It's a little bit different. So it's about four words. So you can just teach this. And this is the essence of all Krishna consciousness. Of course, there are many verses which give the essence, but I think this is the most succinct. Krishnarte Kilacheshta, which means all our endeavors should be for Krishna's sake. That's all. That's the spirit. That's the spirit that we want to imbibe. That means we take it, we get it from Srila Prabhupada. Take it means when we say we take something from someone, that means you take it and they don't have it. But in the case of bhakti, we take it from Srila Prabhupada, and it doesn't mean he's left without it. So we take it and we give that to others. That is the whole spirit of pure Krishna consciousness. And without that, even if we have excellent facilities for education, courses and all this, we won't produce devotees. So most of all, we want that the children, they'll grow up, they'll have a taste for chanting their holy names, they like to discuss topics of Shastra, they like to be devotees. They have an attraction for living among devotees, for chanting the holy names. They're not attracted to gross sense gratification. That will be the success. And of course, over and above that, we hope that some will come out and be great preachers also. Otherwise, if it's just based on, study, pass exam, then we may produce some scholarly types, dry, maybe some tendency to impersonalism. On the other hand, if we say, okay, it's all bhakti, and then, Maharaj said they have to be divine, so it doesn't matter about scholarship. And then take the other extreme, and then just produce a gang of sahajiyas who are just, yes, I'm a pure devotee. So bhakti has to be based in Shastra also. Tat shadadhana munayo jnana vairagya yuktaya pashanti atmani chatmanam bhaktya shruta grihitaya. Srila Prabhupada gave a long purport on this verse to say that bhakti, it's not just some empty feeling, but there must be jnana, which is shruta grihitaya, means from Shastra, knowledge from Shastra. There must be vairagya, detachment from this world. It is imbibed by faithful hearing. So very, in a few words, one verse, so many important points. Srila Prabhupada gives a long purport on that. And he repeats, gives the whole same purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita when that verse is quoted. So everything has to be understood. We don't want to create a class of dry scholars or sahajiyas. We want to create a class, as Srila Prabhupada used that term, create a class of devotees who will attract others to become devotees. Now, much education today is self-education. You can do courses online, you can read books, and that's also part of the Vedic process. Swadhyay, that's also mentioned in Gita. You can read books, and many people say that, well, the education that you give, that's to give tools to others so that they can go on learning throughout their life. So reading is a process by which we can go on learning. Srila Prabhupada writes that reading is a natural instinct. Interesting statement, huh? That's in that, I believe that's in the purport to that, Tadbhag Visargo Janataga Viplavaha. Srila Prabhupada says reading is a natural instinct, but he says that people, they're victimized by novels and all kinds of useless things. So he said that by Srimad Bhagavatam will give them some good material for their reading. So maybe more nowadays, a lot of education is by yourself. Homework, that dreaded word, it's worth not taking birth again so you don't have to have homework. That, at least in my memory, homework. Something horrible. Schoolwork is bad enough, but homework is even worse. Where You could, at least in the school, it's understood you're in some kind of prison, but at least when you get out, you want to be free, but then you have homework. Oh! So homework is there. And actually, it's not like that in Krishna consciousness, and we should be eager. Oh, we have to study. Let me study. Let me find time. I like to study. I want more time to study. So that eagerness, shu, shadadhanas, well, that's something different. But anyway, eagerness to study. But at the same time, it's not just that you can understand everything by the books. Teachers are also required, and not just to get started. It's not just, okay, here you learn A, B, C, ka, ka, ga, ga. All right, now go read the books. But teachers are also required to guide our study. That's why we find that some people study Bhagavad Gita and come to the conclusion that Krishna is not Bhagavan. They say you have to... I actually had a short discussion in the last week with a Mayavadi, pakka Mayavadi sannyasi, real Mayavadi, not one of these just holding a flower and smiling Mayavadis, but someone who'd actually studied Shastra. So his idea was, before studying Gita, you have to study Atmabodh, Tattvabodh, and Vivek Churamani. These are all books by Shankaracharya. First you read that, then you come to Gita, and then you can be properly messed up by reading it. Krishna is not Bhagavan. Well, I tried to reason with it. Well, it says Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, but that same Bhagavan is addressed in Bhagavad Gita as Krishna Chanchalang Himana, Krishna Govinda Nayotsya Iti Govindam. So we may study by ourselves, but we require to be guided to have understanding. And who we are guided, the person or persons by whom we are guided will mold the way we see the world and study. So personal supervision is very important, not just to get us started, but also to impart character. The teacher should be a very high character. Actually, this word teacher, it's not, we don't see in Shastra. Shikshak, you'll say. Or nowadays, I think mostly in the schools, they're mostly shikshika. Is it? Mostly women. Adhyapak is used, yeah. But guru is the most common term. Acharya, guru and acharya, these words are used. But adhyapak is not exactly the same as a guru. He's more like a teacher, who's a supplementary teacher. Guru is, the relationship one has with a guru is something, and acharya means, the very word means, who teaches by his character, by his behavior. So that is required. Teaching, ABC, ka, ka, ga, ga, all these things. But also to impart character, and not only to get the child on course, but to keep on course. And there's a feeling that feeling should be there, even after you go away from the school, just like Krishna, he went to school in what's now called Ujjain, Avantipur. But the idea is that even you come away, you're not with the teacher, but throughout your life, you remember, teacher taught me like this, and I should never at any moment do anything or say anything that my teacher would not want me to do. We have such respect for the character of that teacher that the guru actually rules the life, and you don't, you're completely, even though you may not see all the time, but you just, all you want to do, your life is completely molded. So such a responsible position, the teacher. Nowadays, the advertised job, okay, you get this much pay and you have to have this qualification, you can be a teacher. But that's not in Vedic culture. One should seek a guru, or the parents may send to a guru, that someone by sending to that person, the child will be so much benefited that their whole life will be completely straight. So they cannot think of doing any wrong. Just we see the Pandavas, they could not think of doing anything wrong. That Yudhishthira, when he was to be married, and Drupad, the father of Draupadi, said, this can't be right. How can a woman have five husbands? And Yudhishthira said, no, actually, it's okay. And I'll tell you why it's okay, because I think so. And no wrong thought can come in my mind. It's not possible. He said. Now, not everyone can say that, but in the case of Yudhishthira, no thought outside of dharma can even come in my mind, and it seems right to me. And Manu also gives that as the topmost pramana. If you feel it's right, it's right. Not some lecher, sausage-eating prostitute hunter, but someone who is trained as Yudhishthira is trained. What they feel, that is right. So such character, and then we study Shastra. We study what is the life of Prabhupada. Harishchandra, you want to see what is tolerance, truthfulness? So many stories are there. Chastity of women, everything is there. So Shastra is required. And the teachers are required the children see, they study Shastra and they see the teacher, and they don't see something different. They see the same, upholding the same principles. So then it becomes very strong. If you hear about good character and then you see something different, then anyone can understand there's something wrong here. I know myself, I was raised in Catholic, Roman Catholic tradition, and say so many high things, but then you see the teacher, the priest is a chain smoker, he's watching television all the time. The teachers at school, they're supposed to be Catholics, but their character is not very good. And then that was one of the reasons why I couldn't keep faith in the Catholic tradition. And frankly, that's one of the reasons why many of our devotees, even those children who are raised in Krishna consciousness, they haven't kept faith with this Krishna consciousness movement because of the misbehavior of those who are supposed to be their gurus and guides. This movement is fractured in so many ways and there's a loss of faith. But if the gurus had... I don't want to blame them because it was... Anyway. If they had maintained their vows, then the faith wouldn't have been lost. This movement would be very powerful, as it should be. So, teachers are required also to impart character and to keep others on course. Just their word should be enough, just as with Srila Prabhupada. Among most of his disciples, if he just said something, that would be enough. There was no need for any more discussion. Srila Prabhupada, there was some idea once to... Tamal Krishna Maharaj wanted to throw all the women out of the temples or so. Prabhupada said no. Even the GBC had voted for it all. Prabhupada said no. Finished. Prabhupada's word is strong enough. And then, Tamal, you have to go to China. Oh. Okay. That's it. Prabhupada said. No question. Has to go. They had so much faith that what Prabhupada says is whatever he says. I may not like it. I may not understand it, but Prabhupada said it, so it must be for my good, it must be coming from Krishna. So I have to accept it. No question of not accepting it. So this education that we have is quite different from modern education, which is just some factory, slaughterhouse factory for producing people, sending them, dispatching them all off to hell. Much of it is very impersonal. Just like I left school, I never saw any of the teachers ever again. And there's no idea that you should ever see the teachers again. They're doing a job, you go to school, you come out, finished. But in this society of Vaishnavas, it's a lifelong commitment. The teachers, they're there, and the students are there, and the students will, all their life, they have to come back and see. It's a lifelong commitment. When I say teachers, of course, all the adults, they're supposed to set proper example in their behavior. Behavior means not just personal dealings, but getting up in the morning, attending the temple programs. So there's no question, there should be no question of skipping any of the programs, because devotees are eager to come to hear and chant together. So then the children also get this habit. There's no question of skipping it, because so that's another reason, just why the parents or the elders, they may want to come to all the temple programs, because if they make it optional, then the children will also think, well, I also don't have to go. And then they get on the mental platform. Do I want to go? Not want to go? Oh, I don't want to go. Then they don't go. So the teachers and adults, they not that they have to be super acharyas, Ashtotara Sata Sri Srimadana, just by simply being Krishna conscious, no need for any big fanfare, just day after day living and acting in Krishna consciousness, being happy in Krishna consciousness, the teachers and the leaders of the community, the elders, they make a great impression in the children's heart, which will stay there and keep them on the right course for their whole life. So it's very responsible. People may think, oh, this farm community is very irresponsible. You're leaving the city. No, this coming here means to accept, to actually accept the responsibility. What is that responsibility? Guru na sasyat, swajana na sasyat, pita na sasyat, janani na sasyat, devang na tatsyan na patischa sasyat, na moche dhyah samupeta mrityum. One should not become a mother or one should not become a guru, mother, father, relative, demigod, unless you can deliver your dependence from birth and death. So this Gurukul and Vaishnav communities means to fully accept that responsibility in the best possible way. Hare Krishna. I'll finish there. All glories to His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, by whose unlimited mercy we have the opportunity to be here today and tomorrow and day after day and live our lives like this. And I plan to and hope that after some time I may come and spend time with you, as I have at other farm communities, and sit here peacefully also and write books. Although sannyasis are expected to be out in the field, but writing is also important. Just at the end of Gopal Champu of Jiva Goswami, which I just read in translation, Jiva Goswami wrote that I'm sitting away from society, writing for the benefit of the world. So these books that I'm writing, they're also supposed to be for the benefit of the world. It's interesting that he wrote that Gopal Champu is not directly a philosophical book. It's all pastimes. Although there is an implied philosophical message in it. Anyway, I won't get into that now. But that gave me some encouragement, because sometimes I think, well, I should just travel from place to place, one day here. But sometimes I'm sitting down in one place and writing. But that has its benefit also. So I hope then by the end of this year or early next year, I may be able to come regularly, spend time, as I have done at other farm projects, and be with you, chant Hare Krishna with you, and go on with my writing also. So Hare Krishna, I should finish. Narayan wanted us to leave at 6 o'clock, but or before that. But still there's some more program to do, huh? Okay, so I think we can finish this class here.